Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
The Old Testament reading for this morning is from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, through chapter 2, verse 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit, in which there is its seed, each according to its kind, on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the night, the day from the night. And let them be signs for the seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on that earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please read with me the catechetical review this morning inside your bulletin. The Ten Commandments. The seventh commandment, you shall not steal. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not take our neighbor's money or possessions or get them in any dishonest way, but help him to improve and protect his possessions and income. The second reading is from Acts chapter 13, verse 38 through 48. Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and by him everyone who believes is freed from everything, from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest what is said in the prophets should come about. Look, you scoffers, be astounded and perish, for I am doing a work in your days, a work that you will not believe, even if one tells it to you. As they went out, the people begged that these things might be told them the next Sabbath. And after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, 'I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth.' And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as were appointed to eternal life believed." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please stand. Gospel according to John, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And at Capernaum there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. As he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better, and they said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." The father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." And he himself believed in all his household. This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
We confess together our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, seated. I'd like to ask all the children to come down front with me. Well, good morning. How's everybody this morning? Good. Hi, how are you? Hey, hi Hannah, good morning. So can one of you tell me what a missionary is? Have you ever heard that word, a missionary? I see, I like that, that's nice. So a missionary is someone who simply tells somebody about Jesus. Tells them about Jesus. Could you be a missionary? Yeah. You can tell your friends about the love of Jesus, right? You can go right out here in Black Hawk and all the area, all the places out here in the Black Hills and tell everybody about the love of Jesus, right? But sometimes missionaries, it's not just here, and it's not just in our country that we find them. Sometimes missionaries go to far, far places away, around on the other side of the world, to be able to tell people about the love of Jesus. How would you like to do that someday? Wouldn't that be cool? What do you think? Yeah. Yeah. So sometimes missionaries do that. They travel a long way in order to tell others about the love of Jesus. So how would you guys like to meet a real live missionary this morning? Yeah? Okay. Well, we got one right back here.
Hi, boys and girls. How are you doing? I look pretty normal, don't I? At least for the, probably don't answer that. No, yeah, missionaries are look normal. They're just like you and me, except they go and tell others about Jesus, just like the vicar was saying. They go and tell others, and that's what my job is going to be doing. My call is to go over to this faraway land called Latvia, where no one knows where it is, and I'm going to be telling people about Jesus. In fact, I'm going to be training pastors who will then go into their own communities, and you're going to hear about that in the sermon and in the presentation during Bible study. You're going to be hearing about how they will then go out and share the message of Jesus Christ with other people. Sounds pretty cool, doesn't it? Yeah, so keep that in mind about missionaries, because missionaries are like pastors. They go out and tell others about Jesus. Pretty neat. Vicar?
Thanks, Corey. Well, let's pray. Shall we pray together? Dear Jesus, thank you for missionaries who go into all places of the world to share your love with all the nations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, thank you guys.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. I want to begin by thanking Pastor Sirzenbecker for inviting me here to share with you God's Word and all the good work that God is doing in Eurasia and in particular Latvia. I bring you greetings from the Office of International Mission of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Our text is taken from Acts, our second reading, Acts chapter 13, specifically focusing in on the first couple verses and then verse 47. Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and by him everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. And verse 47, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ. Our Lord says in Acts chapter 1, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. What do you think of when you hear that phrase, to the ends of the earth? Most of us probably think of some faraway, distant land, China perhaps, India. You know, my mom lives in Wisconsin, and I took my call from Janesville, Wisconsin, to Pierre, South Dakota. And I swear my mom thought that Pierre, South Dakota was the ends of the earth. She would no longer have her youngest baby child in the same state as she lived. Perhaps the ends of the earth is a place like Siberia or Saudi Arabia or Latvia. Yet today, our Lord invites all of us to reflect upon the mission that He has given to us. Because you see, whether you realize it or not, you and I, we are partners. We are partners in the gospel of Jesus Christ as members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We are partners, witnesses for Christ to the ends of the earth. In our text for today from Acts chapter 13, we meet up with the Apostle Paul on his first missionary journey. After sailing from Cyprus, the island of Cyprus, to Perga in South Galatia, or as it's known today, the country of Turkey, Paul and his companions decide to make this extra 100-mile trek through this mountainous region to a city called Antioch of Pisidia. Now, such a journey must have been too treacherous for one of Paul's companions, his name, John Mark. No one really knows the reason, but maybe he thought that Antioch was the ends of the earth. Or maybe he was just tired from all the travel. You know, I can kind of relate to John Mark. I've been on the road a lot lately, and I'm going even further away next week as I fly over to Latvia and to Germany. Whatever the reason, we know that John Mark leaves the team of missionaries and he returns to his home base in Jerusalem. And so Paul, with Barnabas at his side, travel on, making their way to Antioch. And when they arrive in this great city, the first thing they do is what every good preacher does when he comes into a new community. He checks out all the churches. In Paul's case, it was the synagogue, and it happened to be on the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day. And I don't know if you can tell a pastor from a mile away, perhaps you can, but they notice that Paul and Barnabas are preachers. And so they invite Paul and Barnabas to come forward and to share God's word with them. And so standing in the pulpit, Paul first reviews for his listeners the history of God's people, how God had done amazing and wonderful things for them, how He had brought them out of slavery in Egypt, how He had guided them through the wilderness journey, providing for them every step of the way, and how He settled them in the promised land, and how He would send a Savior who would redeem them of all their sins. And then Paul says this: "But the people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize this Savior. They did not recognize Jesus. Though they found no proper ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have Him executed. But God raised Jesus from the dead. And for many days, He was seen by those who had traveled with Him from Galilee to Jerusalem." What Paul is doing here is building a case. He's building a case based upon eyewitness testimony, a case that leads to one and only one possible conclusion. And that's where our text picks up. Paul says, brothers, let it be known to you, therefore. Now, I want to pause there, because that word translated into English as therefore is only three letters in the Greek. It's the word soon. That word is so small that you might pass right over it without thinking about it. And perhaps you did that as you heard that reading today. But that word, three letters in the Greek, translated as therefore, is the money word of our text. It is the important word, because that word draws the listener's attention to what comes next. And what comes next is the heart and soul of Paul's sermon. What Paul is saying here is this: because of all that has happened, because of all that God has done for you in Jesus Christ, because Jesus was crucified and is risen again, therefore let it be known that through this Jesus, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. All these things had to happen so that you could be here today to hear his word, to receive his blessed sacrament, and to know that you stand forgiven before the Almighty God. To believe that salvation is yours through faith in Jesus Christ. I can imagine that Paul's words must have gone off like a bombshell among the people in the synagogue that day. You see, the people in that day saw themselves as fairly religious. After all, they were gathered to hear God's word. They were gathered in God's house. They weren't sleeping in. They weren't out on vacation. They were gathered in God's house. They thought they were pretty good. They were doing their best to stay on God's good side. And when they did sin, well, they weren't like the sinners over there, even though God's law says otherwise. You see, God's law is unambiguous. If you sin against one point of the commandments, you've sinned against all of them. How many of you knew that? If you sin against one point of the commandments, you might as well chalk up the other nine. That's what James chapter 2, verse 10 says. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. With such high demands, with such high standards, we might wonder, well, who then can gain God's favor? Who then can be saved? And that's when we hear those important words from St. Paul. Therefore, let it be known that through this Jesus, forgiveness is proclaimed to you. And not only is it proclaimed to you, but Paul takes it a step further in the very next verse. He says, through Jesus, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses, a justification you could not, I could not earn by following the law. We cannot be saved by following the law. Salvation only comes through Jesus Christ. Allow me to paraphrase what St. Paul is saying here. Therefore, let it be known, because of all that Jesus has accomplished, because he lived a perfect life for you, following and fulfilling every single point of the commandments, because he died an innocent death for you, a death we should have suffered because of our sins, Jesus took upon himself, because he is risen to life again for you, a life that we can all look forward to through faith in Jesus Christ, because he and he alone accomplished all of this. Therefore, through this faith in Jesus, you are set free from every last sin. Every sin you have committed, every sin you will commit, you are set free through the blood of Jesus Christ. Who then can be saved? Those who hear the word proclaimed, those who receive the word in their mouths and on their foreheads, in their ears, those who by the work of the Holy Spirit trust in their Savior Jesus Christ. You see, all of our best efforts at keeping God's commandments, all of our so-called good works, could not earn this gift. Only Jesus could do it. Only Jesus did do it. So some of you may be wondering, who is this guy? And why is he's a missionary and Jesus hasn't talked really about anything about mission. He hasn't talked about bringing God's salvation to others. What does this all have to do with missions? Well, the answer is simple. You see, this message that I shared with you, this message that Paul shared with you and the hearers in that synagogue on that day, is what you and I have the privilege to share with other people in our homes, in our communities, and yes, even to the ends of the earth. You see, we know people, whether we work with them, whether they're in our own families, who don't go to church, who don't hear God's word, who don't believe. You have the opportunity to share this wonderful message with them throughout the world. This good news of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ is being proclaimed to people in all kinds of situations, from Taiwan to Uganda, from Ethiopia to Pakistan, even to that small country I mentioned earlier called Latvia, where under the rule of the Soviet Union, Christians and pastors in particular were actively and persistently persecuted for their faith. One statistic that I read recently said that some 80% of Latvia's pastors either died or simply disappeared under the rule of the Soviet Union. Yet today, the people of Latvia, indeed, the people of the entire Eurasia region hunger and thirst for the message that you're hearing today. They hunger and thirst for someone to bring that message of Jesus Christ to their ears and to their foreheads and to their lips. That is why our church body, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, in partnership with our sister seminary, Luther Academy in Riga, Latvia, is right now catechizing and training 16 Pakistani men to be ordained as Lutheran pastors and to plant Lutheran churches throughout the country of Pakistan. Can you believe that? Let me say that again, because this is amazing. I found this incredibly amazing. 16 Pakistani men right now, as I speak, are studying to be Lutheran pastors and to plant Lutheran churches throughout Pakistan. The other day, I was just talking to the executive director of the Office of International Mission. And he says, Corey, I've got great news. We just got clearance to start the first ever Evangelical Lutheran Church of Pakistan. We have a sister church body in Pakistan. Who would have ever thought? I don't know if you knew this or not, but there is a congregation through the efforts of one of our missionaries. There's a congregation in Pakistan of over 1,200 people, but they are without a pastor. I have been called to help train a pastor for them through Luther Academy. Throughout Pakistan and the entire Eurasia region, people want to know what you know. They want to hear what you hear. They want to receive what you receive. And it's not only in Latvia and Pakistan. In Germany, there are, I heard the number that I most recently heard, was over 1,400 immigrants, Iranian immigrants, who have been catechized and baptized. And are speaking to Pastor Martin, Gottfried Martin, he's the pastor in Berlin where all this has taken place. And he said, they said to him, we heard nothing like this in Iran. Nothing about forgiveness. Nothing about Jesus Christ. And they're so fired up for the Lord that they want to go back and share that message with their family and friends back in Iran. There's an incredible opportunity there, folks. And Luther Academy is in the middle of it, sharing that message of Jesus Christ. We are working toward recruiting and catechizing and training and ordaining a pastor for them. And for the first time in over 90 years, we are sending a missionary, a full-time missionary, to Rome, Italy, the very heart of Catholicism, where a group of men are studying to be Lutheran pastors and are eagerly awaiting to start Lutheran churches. You know, so close to the Reformation, I wonder what Martin Luther would think about all of this. If that's what our Lord is doing through his word, and it's not only in Eurasia, but it's all over the world, to the ends of the earth, missionaries are being sent out to preach and to teach Jesus Christ and him crucified and to deliver God's most precious sacraments to a world who hungers and thirsts for salvation. But none of this can happen without you, without our partnership. Because you see, we are partners now, you and I. We are called to be witnesses for Christ to a world who knows him not. You know, when I look out at our world, when I read the paper, when I turn on my television, making disciples, spreading the gospel may be a little bit overwhelming. Really, Lord, we might wonder. Really, to the ends of the earth, to places like Black Hawk, South Dakota, Rapid City, South Dakota, and beyond. Yeah, that's the mission, to carry the word of salvation to the ends of the earth. Today you have heard the message. And in a few moments, you're going to receive the precious body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and the strengthening of your faith. You have been equipped so graciously by our Lord with salvation. I now urge you, I encourage you to go, to take that message of salvation and to tell it to your family and tell it to your community and tell it to the ends of the earth. I hope you'll have time to speak with me after the service or during my presentation during Bible study about all that our Lord is doing not only in Pakistan and Latvia and the entire Eurasia region, but all the good our Lord is doing to the ends of the earth. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.